Welcome to your next favorite band, a little side project of the Your Favorite Band podcast. Typically, we talk to your favorite bands about how your favorite bands became your favorite bands. And this, every other week, we try to do your next favorite band, introducing you guys to some artists that I like, that Dave likes, and that some of you guys have sent our way. Like, we find bands that are smaller, and we're like, man, these guys are fantastic. We want to introduce them to the world. So we like to use the little platform that we have with our podcast to try to introduce to you guys some bands that we're really excited about. And today's no different. Really excited to introduce to you guys a guy named Cody Fry. I first saw this artist on tour with another artist and then went home and found this artist and was like, yes, give me more of that. And I'm excited to talk to him today on Your Favorite Band and try to understand a little bit more about his story and his journey with music. So please welcome Cody Fry to the podcast. Cody, hello.
Man, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Do you go on a lot of podcasts these days? Podcasts are a thing.
This is my first, man. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but this is the first time I've spoken on one.
This is your first one?
Yes, we'll have to figure out if I have a good podcast voice or not.
Yeah. So seeing, we'll talk a little bit lower than normal today. seeing as how it's your first podcast, we'll get right to it. Tell people a little bit about yourself and how you kind of got started in the music world. Because my guess is people might know you from playing in Ben Rector's band, which is wonderful, but we don't really care about him today.
We're going to talk. I've been touring with Ben for almost 4 years.
Yeah.
And that has just been incredible. I've opened for him a couple times just in random cities, usually when the tour opener was sick or something. He'd be like, you're up. That's been a lot of fun. But I grew up in Chicago, and my father is a orchestral composer. And so I grew up, we had kind of a studio in the house. My dad was a jingle writer when I was a kid and now does orchestral writing mostly. And so I kind of grew up in a musical house. And
would we know any jingles that he's come up with?
Man, so he did a ton of work for like McDonald's and Nintendo, and I mean, he did a ton of stuff back in the day. He didn't like write any slogans or taglines or anything, but he, you know, has done many jingles with Did Somebody Say McDonald's and I'm Loving It and, you know, all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
He didn't write it, but has used them and been a part of ad campaigns and whatnot.
Me and a buddy were just talking about jingles and how we feel like would be like a really great place to get into, because it's just like you're writing these little things and they get used over and over again. Like, how did he even get started in the marketing or the jingle? I guess it's marketing, the jingle world.
Well, I mean, jingles were really popular back in the 80s, not to get too music industry here, but they've kind of really since fallen out of style. But back in the day, there was just so much like demand for jingle writers. And my dad is like a trained musician and composer and was kind of at the cutting edge of music technology back in the 80s. And so he made some great connections with some ad agencies and then started his own little business and kept a lot of those clients. So, just like anything, it kind of built slowly.
Yeah.
He actually got out of the jingle business just before it kind of tanked, like the internet did to many things. Now with like, music licensing libraries online and stuff, it's much easier and cheaper to just buy music for a commercial rather than to have somebody make it. But he still does a little bit of that work, as do I, which is fun every time it comes around.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Anyways, continue. You're in Chicago. Your dad's a musician.
Oh, yeah. So I then went to Belmont, which is a college in Nashville, and kind of made my music community there. And that has sort of been the source for the jobs and gigs that I've done ever since. Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool. So, kind of start talking a little bit about how you started to record and create music. I believe your first release is in 2012 with Audio Cinema.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about that and, yeah, just about that and what you were hoping to accomplish by writing some of these songs and releasing them and throwing them out into the world.
Yeah. Well, I kind of just always loved producing music. You know, I started when GarageBand was first a thing. I was like,
yeah,
this is the greatest gift to humanity.
Right.
I love GarageBand. And so when that came out, I was like all about it and was making, you know, I would make little, you know, EPs and albums and like sell them out of a duffel bag at my high school, like some sort of music drug. and these, yeah, those tools were just so vital and, you know, upgraded over time to better technology. I'm not using GarageBand anymore, but that sort of hobby kind of became a little bit more realistic once I started to hone my like sound as an artist in college, being exposed to lots of different music and players and just kind of figuring out what I actually wanted to sound like, and bringing in people alongside me to make it so much better. And to this day, I still produce a lot of my stuff just like in my room here at my house. And, I hope it's gotten better since high school.
Right.
It's always kind of been a hobby that has just been growing and growing and hoping to do it full time here in the next year or so.
Yeah. So kind of you're in that Nashville world now where there's music everywhere. So kind of talk about the battle that you have or you have found with trying to become something with your own music when there's so much other music. I mean, not just in Nashville, but anybody can put something on the internet now and it will take off and then that's it. So talk about kind of how you deal with that, how you're trying to put music out that's a little bit different or sounds a little bit different than what other people are playing in Nashville or on the internet and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, Nashville is a big time music town, obviously, and is just growing every day. And the amount of talent and artists here is kind of mind boggling.
Yeah.
I think, man, I don't know, like if anybody was listening to this, like how do I make it in Nashville? I wouldn't know because I haven't quite made it yet. But I would say like make any community as small as you can. And like I've just invested in my friends and just like my music community around me. And as they grow and I grow, we kind of grow together and give each other opportunities. And honestly, Nashville has been so great because of the presence of industry here, the music industry, just getting feedback and being around so many people that are driven to do music for a living. But it is hard because there's a lot of oversaturation. And so what I've tried to do is just basically not make something that can be pigeonholed into sounding like somebody else. I feel like a lot of music is trying to be, I don't know what the right word is, commercial, or it's trying to be like palatable. And I think sometimes without this intention, it sort of becomes mediocre in that way because it sometimes as an artist myself, I've been afraid to kind of embrace what makes me different and unique as an artist and what my unique voice is, because I want to make my voice something that people have already heard and want to listen to already rather than figuring out what it is that I have to say. And so, every time I've done that, it's always failed. And every time I've like embraced something unique or weird about myself and my taste in music, it's always been more successful than I would have ever thought it would be. And so I guess that would be my advice, is just like, don't try to make something that someone's already made. Make something that like you can only make.
Then a light shone through the black. I was standing on a track. That little light began to grow. There was nowhere I could go.
And after that, that first album, you did like a little live recording EP, which sounds really great. And so talk a little bit about the differences. I know some bands do this. They'll do like a live concert recording or something like that. But yours seemed like you were just going out to try to get a bunch of friends together and create music live rather than doing like a live concert. So talk a little bit about the differences between recording with a band all at once versus doing it maybe individually. I don't know exactly how you recorded your first album, but talk about the differences between those two.
I realized at some point that I didn't really have any cool content on YouTube, which is how a lot of people discover music now. And so I didn't want to just like put up lyric videos or, you know, put up, you know, like my album cover and then play the music on top of it. I wanted to try to create something that was unique visually and compelling in that way, but was also a cool music experience. And that's kind of when Live Captured Recordings was born. I thought, wouldn't this be cool to not like make a music video, but to like actually record music live with a band, but also have it in this cool setting and with these cool and unique visual elements that give it something for the eye to kind of dig into as well as the ear. And ultimately that was, again, one of those things that was, I had no reason to do that. I wasn't going to see a big return on money spent on that, but that has been like my ambassador on the internet is those recordings. And those things have paid dividends in ways that I would have not necessarily thought of beforehand. And just so much fun for me to do. Most of my music creation process for my albums is me by myself at my computer, like playing everything or working by myself. And to be able to just like forget all that and bring in guys and just say, let's make this right here, right now, was so refreshing and fun for me to get to do. And so that's honestly why I did it. I was like, this just sounds like a fun break for me to get to work with some of my most talented friends. And man, it turned out better than I would have ever imagined.
Yeah, and you kind of continued that just moving forward a little bit with from the cold. You put out that video and it's like this little studio thing and it goes around in a circle and it's like super great. It's I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to you. I love that song, but I also love the visual side of it, like seeing all of that come together, seeing the guys singing and snapping and all that, seeing it happen was super cool. As I was watching for the first time, it kind of helped make that music come alive a little bit more. So it's fascinating how these kind of new mediums for music can kind of help that music come alive.
Yeah. I mean, From the Cold is a weird example of something that I would have never thought anybody would like, you know, when I was recording that, I was to myself, I was basically like, yeah, this one's kind of just for me. I wasn't expecting anyone to really get into it, but, I was surprised at the reaction. And, honestly, that has been my favorite thing I've ever done in my career thus far, is just the level of fun and also just the quality of it. It was always kind of a back burner project of mine. I was like, I just want to get like a ton of string players in a room. I love working with live strings and live orchestra players. And so I was like, what if we did this, and kind of came up with the one shot idea. And the guys I work with on my videos just did a killer job, like bringing it all to life. And again, like Live Captured, wanted to make something that is like good music happening, but also compelling visually, because YouTube is obviously a visual medium. But if it can also work as a standalone single or album or whatever, that's just like the added bonus.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about the strings in that song. Like, was that something, as you were going through school, I mean, guess growing up with your dad working with strings and stuff, you saw that was growing older and going through school and stuff like that. Was that something that you knew that you wanted to try to work into your music? Cause there's so much beauty with strings that I don't feel like is super prevalent nowadays in music. Was that something that you knew that you wanted to work in?
Strings have always just like ignited some sort of passion inside me. I love working with strings. And I developed orchestration skills at a pretty young age. I do a lot of film scoring and scoring for media and TV commercials and stuff like that. And have always been super interested in film scoring. And so I did a lot of study of that and orchestration study on my own, and then kind of honed some of it at Belmont and college. And that's kind of how I developed that skill. And I never really saw that skill as crossing over into my artist stuff, just because I wasn't totally sure how that would fit in musically to like pop songs. But also the cost is pretty prohibitive to get a lot of string players in a room together. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And the truth is, I just, without favors from friends and, you know, helpful hands from, you know, people I know, like, I would have never been able to make From the Cold, because the cost would have just been astronomical. But it was something that I'd always kind of wanted to do. And when From the Cold as a song came through and I had it down on paper, all of a sudden kind of the pathway just, I don't know, made itself clear that, like, oh yeah, like, what if you just like did the string thing on this? And not to spoil any surprises, but next month I'm doing a 25-piece orchestra session for my new album, which is going to have orchestra on almost every song.
Yeah, you are.
So it's going to be very strange, but I just thought, man, that is something about me that I love doing. Like, I love writing for orchestral instruments, and maybe it's something unique that I can do to combine that with my pop music and see if anything cool happens. So we're going to try it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Don't see her, but she's there. Dead leaves are moving. Her calling cards across the air. I can see you in the window, shadow through the trees. From a distance, calling out to me, honey, come on in from the cold, come on in from the outside, come on in from the cold, almost losing the daylight.
Taking a step slightly backwards, you put out your second album in 2014, which, just judging by the timeline that you laid out, is also, you had already been on tour with Ben Rector at that time. So talk about just kind of the, like, were you writing this while on tour, playing Ben Rector's music, or was this all stuff that you'd worked on before that? Because I think you released it like right after you began touring with him. So talk a little bit about that second album, when you wrote it, and kind of the inspiration behind it.
That's a good question. Honestly, it's really hard for me to remember. I think a lot of my writing process is pretty slow. So probably the songs that I think you're talking about Keswick. Which, I think some of those songs, you know, I had had around for a year or a year and a half prior to releasing, similar to From the Cold, which I'd actually written like 2.5 years before we actually recorded it.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to know. I definitely wasn't writing on the road. I don't do very well writing on the road. I need like privacy and space to kind of explore ideas, and I like writing with my rig at home. And so it's hard for me to write on the road. But I was dealing with the release of Keswick while on the road with Ben, which was fun. But
yeah,
I'm small potatoes, so it's not like there was a lot to deal with. It was just kind of like, now it's available.
Yeah, right.
Go get it, please.
Sure. And kind of talking from somebody who's in somebody else's band, talk about kind of, as a musician, like, how much input do you have, like, in your particular case, how much input do you have on the stuff that you're putting into Ben's albums? Now that you've been in it for four years now. So talk a little bit about that and how that kind of maybe helped. Does it help itch your musical itch, if you will? Putting your input into that?
Ben is just a force as an artist. He is so, so talented and such a wonderful artist to work for and with. Not only are his songs great, but he's just a great musician. He likes to dig into the music part of being in a band, which is fun. And when I first started playing with him, my role was a little bit different. Now on this past tour, he kind of hired me to create and craft the set for the live show. And I got to do a lot of fun arrangements of his songs and kind of put my own spin on some of the things he's been doing. And then him and I worked together to kind of bring it all together into the 75-minute or so show that people saw on the last tour, which that stuff is super fun to me to kind of create fun live experiences, because obviously music is all dependent on context, and something that works great on a studio album might not work great in the live context. And so it's kind of discovering, hey, what are the moments that we can create here in this live show? And for me personally, as an artist, it's like you can't put a value on that experience of getting to watch an artist like Ben grow from him and I touring in a van and trailer to now, you know, touring amphitheaters and arenas. Like, it's so cool to watch him grow, to see him deal with that growth, and also to watch his show musically expand and see how audiences react to certain things versus other things. And you watch like a documentary about great chefs, and it always talks about when they were working themselves for a great chef. And I feel like right now I'm like working for a great chef, hoping to own my own restaurant one day.
Yeah.
So
that's fascinating.
All that to say, it's just like, you cannot put a price on that experience of getting to watch from behind the curtain like that, with how an independent tour really runs and how an independent artist really like makes a living, and then just like what is successful and what's not. Man, it's just kind of the depth of learning that I've had working for Ben is really indescribable, honestly.
Yeah. Can you expound on that a little bit? I know, like, for as using Ben as an example, Ben, like, this past album, he's been around for a while, but this past album did really well and finally got some radio play, which is great for him. So as somebody who's putting out their own stuff on the side, what are some things that you're taking that you've learned from him growing that you're hoping to implement into your own career and your own music?
Yeah, I think the bulk of what I have learned from Ben is having to do more with performing live. Ben is such a good entertainer, like sneaky good. You know, he's not like dancing or jumping around on stage, but he just is so entertaining in the way that he banters with the crowd, in the way that he structures his live sets. And that sort of stuff is not something that I had really thought about as an artist. I kind of thought of the speaking portions between songs as like the cover up for while I'm tuning my guitar. But
sure,
a lot of times those are the moments that separate like pros from amateurs. Like watching Ben craft those moments has been super interesting to me and something that I'd never thought of. I'm trying to think what else I mean, there's been so much. I mean, obviously, there's been tons of times where we'll work something out as a band in rehearsal, and in my head, I'm like, oh, man, this is going to bomb. and then it just slays, man. Like, it just works so well, and it's like one of those things where I'm like, man, I really thought that was going to tank, and the crowd just ate it up. And so it's cool for me to learn, why was that? Like, what about it? Like, that made it so palatable for the audience? And, it's those kind of moments, like over time, they just add up. And
yeah,
I've kind of building this arsenal of like, yeah, like these sort of elements can work really well in the live setting in a way that you wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of going forward a little bit further with your own stuff, you ended up auditioning for American Idol. Was that the last season of American Idol?
I don't know.
Well, it was sometime.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know.
One of the last seasons, at least.
Since, but
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that. Not everybody auditions for a TV show and gets on the TV. And then I think you went through to Hollywood or some part of that. So talk a little bit about that process and what made you want to do that. And just kind of the behind the scenes behind that part of the journey.
Yeah. So, man, the truth is they called me and asked me if I would come audition.
Fantastic.
So it was kind of like one of those doors that just swung open. I was fortunate. One of the talent producers on there had seen my videos or something like that and reached out, and was like, hey, you know, if you come here, we'll just like walk you in, you can audition right for the producers, which was kind of amazing. So I just kind of walked in, auditioned for the producers, they advanced me, and then they filmed it with the celebrity judges. And to my intense shock, I made it through, which honestly was not expecting to. Truly, I'm not just saying that to be humble. I was like, I don't think that I'm like a great personality for American Idol. I feel like they're probably looking for something different than me, but yeah, made it through. And I'm trying to remember, I'm pretty sure I made it to the top 48. So performed a couple times, and man, I'll say this about the experience. The crew and the team at American Idol was so, so professional and awesome to be around.
Yeah.
I never once felt like this is weird or, they're taking advantage of me. Like it's obviously a TV show and there's like stressful moments, but, it was a great experience in the sense that I learned a ton.
That's awesome. That's really funny that they called you up. Who knew?
Yeah, I mean, you'd be shocked, man, how much of that stuff is really kind of put together behind the scenes.
It's one of those things where you're not so much shocked as you are just like, well, that's not that surprising. Like, it just is what it is. You know, it's TV. It's reality TV that's not actually real.
Yeah, I tell people this, man, like, I have been in some stressful performance situations, but nothing in my life will ever be as stressful as performing on American Idol. Like if, you know, for someday I perform at the Super Bowl, I will not be as nervous or stressed as I was performing on American Idol, because when you're performing at the Super Bowl, everybody there, everybody on that crew, they're there to help you make a great show. They're there to fix anything that goes wrong. Everybody's on the same team. Whereas American Idol, the cameras are just kind of on their own team. They're not like against you, but they're also not for you. And if something goes wrong, you're kind of just there, you know? And so that creates like this intense stress, because no other performance situation is like that. You know, if you're performing even in a bar or something, your monitor goes out or the sound system stops, it's like some guy is going to try to fix that. But at American Idol, or any reality TV show for that matter, The Voice, whatever, they're just kind of like, we're just here to capture this. Like, whatever happens, happens. And that's super stressful. So in that sense, it kind of prepared me for anything. I do not get nervous performing ever, because I'm like, nothing could be more awful than what I went through in that, in those moments.
That's so funny. So just kind of wrapping up a little bit, you kind of mentioned at the very beginning that you're, or have a little bit back in the interview, that you were kind of getting ready to go and record some new stuff. And what are you hoping for this stuff? I guess the question is this: are you content kind of being in Ben's band and letting that be kind of your career and enjoying that, or are you hoping that, man, maybe this next thing will really catapult me forward in the music scene?
Man, I love playing for Ben and other artists. That is such a blast. But my, like, I get so much joy out of creating music myself. And so obviously that's my ultimate hope. I've been working on new music and been working with this producer for the first time. His name is Chad Copeland. He has actually worked on Ben stuff, but he's also worked with like Andrew Bell and like Sufjan Stevens and a lot of really cool artists. And Chad's work is just so great. And been having a blast working with him on some very strange new stuff. I am excited and terrified. It's definitely going to be the strangest and most me album I've ever put out. Just kind of combining a lot of the elements that I've sprinkled in over the past couple releases, Live Captured and From the Cold, and kind of pulling that all together into album form has been really fun. And I think it's created something that is compelling to me. And so that is fun for me to just like have fun making music, and whether or not anybody likes it, that would be just like an added bonus.
Sure.
But I really hope that people do like it, and I think it's cool. So hopefully they will.
Last question. I always like to hear kind of people's songwriting style and how they go about writing a song. So I know you mentioned that you can't do it on the road. You got to do it at home and stuff like that. So go through a general process of how you go about writing a song and recording demos and stuff like that.
Yeah. So my songwriting process is generally at my house. I'll usually try to write a verse and a chorus and then just sit on it for like a week. And if I still like it, I'll go back and finish that song. So I have, you know, a graveyard of verses and choruses that have just like strewn about my past. And yeah, so it kind of, the flowers come out of the weeds, you know what I mean? I just like pick the best ones that I've written and try to write as many as I can and then finish the ones that are compelling to me. And a lot of people ask like, well, do you write lyrics or melody first? It's like, man, I think, for me, every great songwriter I've talked to, it all just comes out at the same time, man. Like, lyric and melody are just, it's music, man. They're just relentlessly intertwined if you're going to write a great song. And so I think, I write a lot with my computer because I like to kind of create tracks as I go. And I write mostly at the piano. I don't write a ton on guitar anymore. I used to write a ton on guitar, but now I'm just finding more inspiration at the piano.
That's awesome. Super cool. Well, tell people how they can follow you and get ready to hear some new stuff and all that good stuff.
My name is Cody Fry, like French fry. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and at my website, CodyFry.com. I have music on Spotify and iTunes and anywhere else music is consumed these days. And hopefully in the next couple months, you'll be seeing some announcements about some new music.
Awesome. Dude, well, I mean it. Like, I don't always gush when I'm talking to somebody. but I legit love your stuff. I think you got something, and I'm really excited to continue to hear some new stuff from you. And
it is,
I'll be following.
So cool to hear. Anytime somebody says that, it's almost just like, this is so crazy, man. I just think it's wild that anybody cares about music that I would create. And so thank you for saying that. And honestly, thank you for having me on this podcast. I appreciate
it. Yeah, man. If for no other reason, I'm happy that Ben Rector exists so that I get to find out about you. I mean, obviously I'm happy Ben Rector exists for other reasons because I like Ben and everything, but I'm excited he exists because I found you.
Ben is the man. So
Ben is the man. Well, go ahead and tell Ben to come on here. You can come back on with him and we'll do this whole thing again.
All right.
You speak to me, and I listen like your words are curing me. I know I wandered far until I could see all that I need. I hold my breath, fear is gripping me, and I can't shake it off. But relief, it knocks me over when you talk. It's all that I need. I will find my